So, Mike, if you'd like to come up, that would be great. Mike Hanchett. I'd love us to pray for him. He's ministered Friday night, Saturday night, two services this morning, and more than likely we'll do some ministry tonight. And that's what happens when Deborah and I travel to. In six churches we went to, we did about 30 meetings. And it's wonderful because you go there to serve, but it is tiring. And so I just pray for Mike here, that for the anointing to just to strengthen him, and that we open our hearts to receive. So Father God, I thank you for this wonderful man and his wife Joan that we've walked many years with, Lord God, worked in different continents. And Lord God, I just thank you. I thank you for these friendships that last decades, and Lord, that we can build on and that we can celebrate together, Lord, as we see what you're doing in the nations of the world. And Lord, I pray for Mike. I pray for his health. I pray for his voice. Lord, strengthen him. It's been a long week. He'll be in churches next week again. And so, Father, I ask you just to supernaturally empower him and anoint him for the time ahead. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.
Always good to be with you. I'm supposed to say it's good to have you. Thanks. It is a joy to travel for God and to minister. I think 30 times in 30 days, that's not that much. No. I was recently in Indonesia, and I think I ministered 12 times in 5 days. And that's just the expectation. And they weren't short meetings. They were long meetings. And they want their money's worth. But I'm going to share for a little while. I shared this morning. I really feel like it's a pertinent word that was for this church. I encourage you to get a hold of it, listen to it. But I want to share it at this time. And I'm not going to try to share too long. There's a poem I like. It goes something like this. And I don't know about you, but I'm hungry just like you get hungry. How many of you ever get hungry? All right, that's good. But it goes like this. I like the finished speaker. Oh, yes, I really do. I don't mean the guy that's polished. I mean the one that's through. So I'm not going to try to talk so long this morning, but I just want to make room for the Holy Spirit. I want to talk this morning about the operation of the Holy Spirit, just a little bit of how it operates and works. Is that okay? So it's going to be more of a talking and not just a preaching type thing. But it's very important that we understand the Spirit of God is a tangible substance that actually has come from heaven. And it's been given to earth to be utilized by God's people who are his children. And in Acts 19, verse 12, it tells a story of how people would bring handkerchiefs to Paul, and that he would pray over the handkerchiefs, and they would be sent out, and the people that received the handkerchiefs, when it was placed upon their body, they got healed. And God can use anything as a substance for his anointing to flow in or through. I remember going to a meeting, and the story talks about Peter, that his very shadow would, people, when he walked by, his shadow would touch them and he would be healed. And in this meeting, I was amazed because they put a big light behind the guy who was speaking, and where he would cast a shadow. And as people walked through his shadow, they got healed. Now, I don't think it was, what was unusual about it was I was not prepared for that. They were actually creating a shadow, and I wasn't quite sure how to work that out. But what I've discovered is that God wants to work in spite of us and with whatever means that are available to us. He wants to work. Some of us don't like some of the things we see advertised in Christian magazines and TV. If you write in to us today, we will send you like a handprint, and you just put it on your head and God will touch you, and just send $25 and it'll be all right. And some of those things. But you know what I've discovered is that God does it still in spite of those situations. I remember the Lord, one time I was watching a television program and the person said, if you're ill, put your hand on the TV and God will heal you. And you know what? I got healed. I was in the last trip I took to Asia before I got to Mike and stuff. When I got to Mike, I was healed. But on the way, as I flew into LAX, I was taking the escalator up to the Thomas Bradley terminal to fly on to Asia, and someone's luggage fell over onto my feet, and my feet were caught, and I couldn't move, and I fell back, and the person behind me just moved out of the way, and I fell down the escalator. I got into the airport terminal and put my arm on the counter, didn't even realize I had just blood running down my arm and stuff, and then I found out I was in the wrong terminal. Murphy's Law. And only when I got to Singapore did I realize I'd hurt my back. Because, you know, it doesn't often appear for a day or so later. And then I picked up a bug while I was there. And I was sick and I was throwing up and had diarrhea and things. And my back was sore and all these different things. I felt like Paul when he had been taken out of the city and beaten and left for dead. At times, that's how you feel. But you can't not minister because there's expectations. And you're the only one there. And they've gathered for you. And I remember I'd done Singapore and I'd done Malaysia. And I was in Indonesia. And I saw the schedule that they had. And I had another 8 weeks of ministry throughout Australia. And I said, oh, Lord, I can't go on. Is there something I've done? Because isn't that the way we think sometimes when everything goes against us, we think, I must have done something. And I couldn't figure out anything that I'd done, and the Lord didn't reveal anything. But what he did say to me was something peculiar. He said, just put on to your Facebook family what the enemy has brought against you and ask your family to pray for you, and then ask them to acknowledge and let you know they're praying. You see, often when we go on trips, we don't really perceive that there's a lot of people praying for us. Maybe you do, but I'm not aware of it. And so I went to bed that night. I put that on Facebook. I got up in the morning. Guess what? There were 295 people that responded that they'd been praying for me and 25 churches. But you know what? When I got up that morning, I was healed. The pain in my back was gone. The dysentery had stopped. Everything that was opposing me was gone. God had healed me. And it opened up my mind to realize that we have a family of God that are standing with us. And sometimes we go through things just because we don't let the family know. And I encourage you to let the family know when things are not going well so that they can stand with you, because they stand shoulder to shoulder with you as brother and sister in the Lord. So the thing that is interesting there in Acts 19 verse 12, it says this. Well, in essence this, when handkerchiefs were laid upon people, two things happened. Sick people were healed and demons were driven out. That's clearly what that scripture says. In other words, they believed God would heal through this method. So whatever method is utilized, if we have faith to believe that God is going to utilize that method, we can expect that God will bring healing in that method. So when I put that information on Facebook, I expected some kind of result, and the result came. And God wants us to expect results when prayer goes up. But guess what, people? This is the good news. We're the carriers of God's Spirit. We're the carriers of His presence. So we carry with us that healing power. We carry with us things that are tangible that the Father has placed within us because we have His DNA. You can look at my three kids and they all look like me. They've got my good looks because my wife still has hers. But you look at them and you see me in those kids. And in the same way, what we need to understand, we have the Father's DNA within us when we become children of God. And over time, it develops and it becomes more tangible and visible. You know, as an infant, often people will not quite be sure who that baby looks like. But as it grows a little bit, it becomes more distinguishable. Now, I fly a lot, and I remember hearing this story of a lady on an airplane. She called the stewardess over and said, "Stewardess, will you deal with this man? He keeps calling my baby and telling me it looks like a monkey." And the stewardess said, "Well, sir, would you like to move to another seat so you won't be bothered or won't bother this lady?" And he said, "Yes, I will." So she moved over, and she goes back to the lady. She goes, "I'll be back just in a moment with a banana for your monkey." Anyway, sorry. But in 2 Kings 13th chapter, 20th verse, story of about Moab and stuff, and the pallbearers are carrying a body to bury. And they're going along, and all of a sudden, they see a raiding party that normally comes down and kills and steals and takes from them. And they say, "Hey, let's get out of here." They find an open grave. They throw the body in the grave, and they flee. And as soon as the body hits those bones of Elisha, that body springs to life. And I'm sure he probably said, "Hey, wait for me." He had got up and took off. And they ran probably even faster then. But in that, it's important that we realize there was something still tangible in those bones of Elijah. It was resident. It was real. And guess what? It produces results. And that's what we have to understand, is the DNA of God is within us, and the DNA of God will produce results. But a lot of times, we don't bother to pray because we think, "I can't do this." Well, you know what? You can't. In fact, Jesus said, "Outside of the Father, I can do nothing." I remember when that lady came to me in England and said, "Will you pray for my child? She has 4 tumors in her throat." My faith level was up here, and my faith level went down there. In fact, I was traveling with a guy. I walked over to him and said, "Wouldn't you like to pray for her?" And he goes, "No, the Lord's told me it'll be a progressive healing," which is a cop-out, and which basically says, "I don't have the faith to pray for it either, and that maybe she'll get healed over time." And then when I realized that person wasn't going to pray, that the only hope she had of someone praying was me, I realized, look, I can't do anything. Lord, what do you want to do? Now, why am I telling you that? Because that sounds like I failed in this situation. Well, you know, I'm saying that to you because no matter where we are in our walking with God, there are times that we feel we are doing it. And we have to understand we can do nothing outside of Jesus. And the Lord simply said, "These signs will follow them. They will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover." So I walk over, I put my hand on her shoulder and say, "Lord Jesus, do what you want to do." You know what I asked them? "Is there anything different from when I put my hand on you and prior to that time or at this time after I've put my hand on?" And she, her eyes got big, she burst into tears and said, "They're gone." God healed her just by me doing what he told me to do. See, the resident anointing of God abides within us. Most of the time, we have an ethereal mindset that it's out there. It's got to come. That's how it happened in the Old Testament. The anointing would come upon ministers of God. In the New Testament, the anointing abides within us. So even in your worst day, no matter how bad you feel, the anointing is still resident within you. And God says that when we're weak, He's strong. So even in our weakest moment, He shows forth His greatest strength. I remember one time ministering with Cliff Jersini in Durban at a Catholic convent. So there were plenty of priests and nuns there, and all sorts of other Catholic people were there. And I felt I was ill. I felt, it seems like I'm ill a lot, but I'm not ill all the time. But at that time I was ill. It was at the end of the trip. And I just didn't feel like I had much gas in the tank. And you know what? God did the most. There were, I don't know how many priests and nuns got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I don't know how many got healed and things like that. God was just doing incredible things. And it was God. And He could only take the credit. The anointing abides within you. I want you to turn to the person next to you and tell them, you are anointed of God. Some of us laugh because we think, you're anointed of God? But how did Jesus operate? Acts 10, verse 38, it tells us, it says, one, God anointed Jesus. And this is what I want you to understand. God does the anointing of us. We can't anoint ourselves. I can't impart my gift to you. That's not possible. What I can impart is a level of anointing within me that, and say, God, give them more anointing. I can't give you a gift. You see, I impart, but I can't even impart my gift. You see why? Because in the fivefold ministry, those are given by Jesus. They're not given by me to impart. The gifts of the Spirit are not given by me. They're given by the Holy Spirit, severally as He wills. But we can ask God to impart some of the anointing that is resident and deposited within us. We can release it to others and say, Lord, increase their anointing into the fullness of Your plan. And God anointed Jesus. And two things He anointed Him with. That's interesting to me. One, often we think that when we've been filled with the Holy Spirit, we've got it all. We don't ever tell anybody that, but we think it, and we act like it. Yet, often we don't see a whole lot happening. But it says Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit, and it says, and with power. Two entities, separate. You see, when Jesus was taken into the wilderness in Luke 4, verse 1, He is led into the wilderness by the Spirit. It says there that in verse 14, He was already full of the Holy Spirit, Luke 3, 22 and 23. Verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 1, He's led into the wilderness, comes back from the river, full of the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, it says He returns in the power of the Holy Spirit. I think many of us have received the Holy Spirit, but not all of us have received the power. And we wonder, why? Well, you know what I tell people? If you don't have the power, get in the closet and don't come out till you get some power. Don't be disappointed and give up on God, people. Don't give up on God. God has made it available. Let's get it. And then what did He do? The fourth thing Jesus did, He went around doing good. He was a good guy. He was the life of the party. People wanted to hang with Him. A lot of Christians I know today, people don't want to hang with them. Come on, let's be honest. We should have some goodness that's displayed that people want to be with us. And five, it says, He went around doing good, healing all who were under the power of the devil. God wants us to operate with that anointing. healing, releasing people from the oppression of the devil. Sickness, you see, doesn't come from God. You see, there's a theological perspective that we've adopted through the years that the Jewish people adopted, and it was simply this, and it was reiterated when Jesus heals the blind man goes into to the Pharisees, and when he's with the Pharisees, they ask him, who did this? And they say, it must have been the devil, because he doesn't adhere to our traditions. He doesn't honor the Sabbath. And what did this man say? He said, no, you have said only good can come from good. So how can something good come from something bad? And they didn't like that he was rebuking their theology, so they kicked him out of the temple. But you see, it was prevalent even with Jesus' disciples, because what did they say when he healed this blind man? They said, who has sinned? His parents or him for this to have come upon him? And you see, in Christianity today, so often we think when things come up on us, we've done something wrong. I want to tell you, there's bad things that happen to good people. And it isn't the devil. The Word of God, see, the Word of God tells us that we're entitled to 70 years, and if we're really strong, maybe 80. Isn't that true? You know what I'm talking about there? But it also says God numbers our days, and it's appointed unto man a certain time to die. Now, sometimes we don't understand all of that, but what we have to understand is that God is in control. We can rest in that. God is in control. Now, so what I'm telling you is, hey, I want to live till I'm 80. I want to think that I'm strong enough to live till I'm 80, but I know that God is in control. And I'm living my life like Jesus might return today. Because he might. Or he might call me home. I have a friend. Mike Graves knew him in South Africa. Ed Raybert was a great man of God. He was a young man in his early 50s. He was going to a good thing, a Jesus march in the city of Pretoria. Drops his wife and family off to walk in the march. He parks the car, gets out of the car, goes to put money in the meter, falls over dead. I heard so many people say, I wonder what he did to deserve that. You see, our mindset is askew with understanding of who our God is. Our God is a good God. He only does things for our good and our well-being. The sixth thing with reference to Jesus was simply this. God was with him. I want to tell you, God is with you. Jesus affirmed it when he said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Didn't Jesus say that? Why is it we live our life sometimes and we feel like God is so far away? Remember that little poem, Footprints in the Sand? And the guy's complaining to God, where were you when this was going wrong? And where were you with that? And what was happening here and what was happening there? And God speaks up and says, hey, the time you only saw one set of footprints, I had picked you up and I was carrying you in my arms. You just didn't realize it. God wants us to open our hearts and open our minds and open our understanding to know that he will never leave us, nor will he ever forsake us. He'll be with us all the time. In Mark 16, verse 15 to 20, it says, he confirms his word with signs following. In other words, power was demonstrated. Most of the time when we speak to people about God doing something, we don't even think about praying for them, and we don't have an expectation that God will do something. And why do I say that? Because most of the time we're operating out of a place of petition. We're asking God with an uncertainty and not knowing what God wants to do in that equation. But God wants us to operate out of position, knowing the will of the Father. That was the success of Jesus, wasn't it? in the natural, Jesus wanted to go pray for Lazarus because Lazarus was his good friend. But he withstood and held back because God said it wasn't the time. I believe if he would have gone forward and done it, nothing would have happened. And a lot of times when we pray, it seems like nothing happens. Now, what am I saying that to? I'm not saying that to condemn us. I'm saying let's open our minds and our hearts to ask God, God, what do you want to do in the equation? How do you want to handle this? Now, I remember being asked to go to a hospital one time and pray for a little baby in Addington Hospital. And the baby had a terminal illness. And my heart broke for that baby. I wanted to see that baby healed. And I started to pray for, I picked up the baby and the parents were there, and I started to pray for the baby. And the Holy Spirit, as clear as a bell, said, I'll heal this baby if you'll give me one of your sons. And I go, oh, I couldn't do that, Lord. And he goes, then I don't want you to pray for his healing. I want you to pray for his parents, that they'll be able to stand in this situation. And I said, but why? And you know what God said? I couldn't argue with him. All he said is, because I want this child. Now, I don't understand it. Now, why am I saying that? Because sometimes we don't understand what God is doing. But I want you to understand that if we pray and do what God tells us to do, we can see the fruit of God, what he wants to have come forth. I've never forgotten that because, you see, that helps me to put myself in a position to say, Lord, what do you want to do in this situation? How do you want to handle this situation? You see, the Word of God says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I like to paraphrase it this way. Faith comes by hearing a word from God. How many of you have ever done something that God told you to do and you saw results? Your faith level rose, didn't it? Is that true? All right. Why don't we do it all the time? We're good Methodists. Well, the Lord, I just prayed for a person last week, and I did it this way, and God healed them. It's interesting, the story of David, and the Pharisees, or the Philippines are coming, Philistines. They might have been from the Philippines, too. I don't know. The Philistines come up against Israel, and it says, David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord says, you go out against them, as straight against them, and you will defeat them. 6 months later, they come against them again. What would be our natural reaction? Hey, we whipped those guys 6 months ago. They're not so tough. We'll whip them again. Isn't that true? And what is Jesus, or what does God tell him to do? Says, David, if you go straight out against them this time, you're going to lose. This time, you set 3 ambushes. And at the appointed time, when I tell you the time is now, you spring the ambushes and you'll defeat them. And they did. What that tells me is we need to inquire of God every single time how he wants us to administrate. And in Ephesians, the second chapter there, it talks about God giving us a suitable administration for his kingdom. You see, that's what I'm convinced Jesus was. He was just a good facilitator and administrator. He saw what the Father was doing and he just replicated it. How many of you men can do what your wife asks you to do or tell you to do? Some women are shaking their heads, yeah, and some are saying, they don't want to communicate it with their head. But I got the picture. And some of your men, your wives aren't here to tell you. But as I said the other night, after my son had his first year of anniversary, I asked him, I said, what have you learned this year? And he said, Dad, happy wife, happy life. He learned something. I said, you've learned more than me that first year. But in the same way, people, when we all can take orders, or we have a job and we have to obey the boss, what he tells us to do. Or we go to school and we have to obey the school teacher. If you're a child, you obey your parent. We can do what they ask us to do. Isn't that true? Everyone in this room can do what someone has asked us to do. And in the same way with God, we can do what he asks us to do or how he tells us to do it. And you know what? Then it becomes simple because guess what? We see the fruit of it and our faith level rises to believe he can use me again if I just listen to what he tells me to do. Luke 6:17, people came to Jesus to be healed. And when he touched them, or they touched him, it says power went out of him. You can actually feel a tangible power or virtue or something leaving you. Often when I minister to people, I can tangibly feel when the Holy Spirit is touching a person. And God wants us to know that he wants to attune us so that we will experience and we'll be able to know when God is doing something as well. You see, then the touch of faith is touched with expectation. And the Spirit of God works with the Word of God and brings about a result that we're looking for. In Acts 3, 1 through 10, I'm not going to read it, but it's the story of the lame man healed at the gate, beautiful. The people, it says, looked with wonder and amazement at what had happened. You see, when God does things, people are filled with wonder and amazement. That miracle in England that took place with a girl losing those tumors gone, it not only affected the parents or the family that knew she had been ill, and which were grandparents and things like that, but it also affected workmates of who they worked with. It also affected the doctors. The doctors saw the result. And doctors had to come and give a deposition that what the mother had said was true. A miracle had taken place. I thought about it. If I was a Catholic, I could become a saint. In Acts 5, verse 12 through 16, the story of Peter. Some are saints and some are ain't. Jeez, Jeff, shame on you laughing like that at me. But you see, what Peter was carrying was real because obviously as his shadow passed by, there was something tangible even in the shadow that caused healings to take place. And what I'm saying to you today is the DNA with God within us from God is carrying a tangible substance of value and of power that's real. And whether you feel like you've got it or you don't feel like you've got it, it's resident if you know Jesus Christ. In Psalm 91, verse 1, it says, "He who dwells in the shadow of the Almighty will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." We need to rest in God. And as we rest in Him, guess what? When you're under the shadow's covering you. And it's not your shadow that's touching the people, but it's the shadow that you're under that's actually touching those around about you. Peter and John going up to the temple and the beggar man asking them for currency or money. What did they say? "Silver and gold we don't have, but such as we have." They recognized they had something from God to give. How many of you realize you actually have something to give to other people? How many of you give it? You don't have to answer me. In John 5, verse 19 and 20, and I'm almost finished here. I hear the roars of stomachs. You see, I'm trying to lay a foundation to build on the foundation that's been built here because I'm leaving and you're going to still be here and I want to hear the fruitfulness that comes out of this church. And there's fruitfulness that's coming. I hear it already. There's things, stories I hear from people. When Mike's trip to Australia and stuff, I get feedback from guys in Australia of what a blessing he was, how he helped. Verse 19 and 20, this is what Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. See, if we're children of God, whatever the Father does, it should be a natural progression of us doing what the Father is doing. I remember seeing my grandson, he's only 4 years old, and his father was doing something. I watched it, he was mimicking him exactly. And we all thought it was so cute, which just inspired him to do more. And you see, in the same way, God wants us to do what he is doing, not because we're like that little four-year-old child, but he does tell us we're to become like little children. And little children, guess what? They're not embarrassed when they mimic us. Most of the time, I have found we Christians are a little embarrassed to do certain things. What will people think of me? They'll think I'm immature, or they'll think this or that. But you know what? A little child is immature. Very trusting, though. But listen to this, verse 20. This is key. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. And this statement now that's coming, Jesus is referencing it, but I believe it's applicable to us. And he says this, second part of verse 20, says, yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. You see, that ties right into John 14:12, where Jesus said, the things I do, you'll do, and you'll do greater things. And here Jesus, in verse 20 of John 5, is reiterating what the Father is saying. The expression, the Father wants to amaze us with what he wants to do. I call it the wow factor of God. He wants to wow us with what he wants to do. You know what? When I went to that meeting, I knew God in England when that child was healed of those tumors. I didn't have any expectation a child was going to be healed of tumors, but man, I felt good afterwards. It's true. God wants to wow us with what he wants to do. And you see, that's where our success will come, out of what he does through us. But that's where Ephesians 2:10, he prepared that good work for me to do in advance. And guess what? I got more invitations after that meeting than I'd had in a long time out of England. Because everybody wanted the man of power. And I thought, gee, if they really only knew, I didn't do anything. My faith level plummeted. But it was only as God said, just go lay hands on her and she'll be healed. You see, God has good works for you to do that I can never do. He has good works for the Church of Nanaimo to do that I'll never participate in. For the region, for other nations, that nations you go out from here to accomplish and to do things, you will do incredible things. I don't know about you, but I like incredible. Don't you? See, every time God heals somebody, I think it's incredible. Ministering to these people the other night, the lady coming for one reason, and then as she's standing there, God starts revealing another reason about her neck. And she goes, yes. And the lady about her hip, she testified this morning how that God healed her hip, and she'd been walking around like this, holding her hip, because her hip had bothered her for 3 years. And God just healed her hip. And a lady last night comes to me and says, you know, you spoke to me about my neck and God healed my neck. She goes, I pruned all day with my neck tilted up and my neck is fine. God healed my neck. You see, that's the God that we serve. And a lot of times God's speaking to us, but we just don't recognize that it's God. And for years, that's the way it was with me. Every time I'd go to church, I would sit, my wife would be next to her, and halfway through the meeting or something, I'd turn to her and say, you know, the devil's just trying to afflict me. I'm feeling this in my back, or I'm feeling this, my leg's gone numb, or this or that. And I always thought it was about me. I want to tell you, a lot of times when you start feeling things in your body, whether you're in church or you're out somewhere else, God's actually trying to get your attention for someone else. It's not all about you. I taught you that the last few times I've been here. It's not all about you. Isn't that true? God wants to do things through you that I'll never do, that will exhilarate you and lift you to a higher level to believe Him for even more. You know, God gave me a word for this church a few years ago, that this church was going to be known for healing and that people were going to come from all around to see, what is God doing here? You know, that's not just through the leaders here. That's through every priest that's sitting in this room. God wants to use you. He wants to use you. Do you believe that? Matthew 14, verse 26 to 36, I'm not going to read it, but it says this. The essence of it says, all who touched him were made whole. And you see, when people begin to recognize that God is using you for people to be healed, people will come to you and want you to pray for them. And even then we have to inquire of God, God, what do you want to do in this situation? Mark 6, verse 56, it says, they even begged him to allow them to just touch his coat. And all who did were healed. See, God's going to surprise us with how he does some things. Are you up for surprises? Do you have an expectation to be a surprise to other people? And you know who the first person generally is that is surprised is you. Gee, God did that through me. Wow. It's incredible when he does. Incredible. So here's what I want to do this morning. If you want God to wow you, you want to be amazed by him, I want you to stand up. I want to pray a prayer that's going to begin to release his amazing, wondrous wow factor in your life. But what it's going to require is you to be willing to hear him and be willing to do what he wants you to do. And I told the people this morning when I was before God did that miracle in that church, the Lord spoke to me and said, lock your arms like eagle's wings and fly around the room, and every person you touch, I will touch. And I go, oh God, I can't do that. They won't see me as an eagle. They'll see me as Big Bird. Well, I make a better Big Bird than an eagle. Come on now. And you know what? God touched people in spite of that I was unwilling. Because you see, God will never require more from you than you're willing to step into in the area of faith, because he only responds to your faith. And he says, as your faith is, so be it unto you. So he'll meet you where you're at, but he wants your faith level to grow and confidence to grow in him. Because as it grows in him, you'll be amazed at the things that he's prepared for you to do. I don't know about you, but I want to be more amazed. From a time in Singapore when five Buddhist priests came to me and said, would you pray that Jesus would reveal himself to us? I said, sure, join hands. I said, Lord, reveal yourself to them. All five just simultaneously fell under the power. Nobody there to catch them. I was amazed. I didn't stick around to see if they'd gotten hurt or not, but I was amazed. Or seeing the little girl with the tumors disappear, or seeing a blind healed in Mexico, and deaf healed, and things like that. I'm always amazed, the wonder of our God, that he allows us the privilege of participating with him. Lord, you see your people standing here. Lord, they're standing here because they love you, and Lord, because they want to see the good works you've prepared in advance for them to do. Lord, we don't have the answer for everything, but we know, Lord, you do, and you are a good God. And you're only looking out for our well-being and those around about us that we deal with. So, Lord Jesus, I pray through the power of your Spirit that even from this time forward, that you will set us on course to be amazed by the wonder of your miraculous and things that you want to do through us. Let the splendor of your majesty be displayed through the DNA of these people. Let people see God in them, and that they will become a hope of the glorious good news of Jesus being dispensed through in and around the Nanaimo area. Lord, give them a holy boldness. Lord, I stand against the fear who would want to inhibit them from receiving their destiny in God. And I release the wow factor of God to begin to move in motion, and may it churn. And Lord, may it hit this place like a tornado, destroying the works of darkness and releasing the goodness of God. Father, I pray that your anointing will begin to tangibly be evidenced, even from this evening as we begin to worship you in that time of prophetic worship, Lord. Let your presence be displayed in a manner that transcends anything we've asked, thought, or imagined. Let your glory be displayed through these carriers of your glory. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I look forward to hearing the testimonies of all the good things you do through these people. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.